Osiris.
Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
So I'm actually Glenn Hall, aka Little Glenn, a Lil Glenn, all the way from the Rebirth Brass Band. Currently trumpet player in Rebirth, and honestly I'm just excited to be a part of such a well-renowned band that has inspired me since I was young coming up, you know.
You're born and raised in New Orleans?
Yep, born and raised in New Orleans. Come from a musical family, actually. Some of my older cousins include the Andrews Clan, they call it here, but James Andrews, trombone short is one, Glenn David Andrews, Revert Andrews, who actually played in Revert for a while. But yeah, heart and soul come from a musical family.
When you go to New Orleans and you see second lines, you see funeral marches, you see people in the street, I think Rebirth symbolizes for a lot of us, you know, the real sound of New Orleans. How does it feel to sort of try to further that history, being sort of a new representative of the band?
Honestly, I think it feels more natural than anything, because I think this kind of thing is embedded into our culture. You know, we're right. Born in such a rich, rich culture. We learn everything about the generation and generations before us, and then we say, hey, I mean, I learned this stuff, now I gotta keep it going.
Man, I love that sound. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to The Show on the Road. As always, I'm your humble audio spirit guide and host, Zach Lupitin. And for the second week in a row, we get to dive into the legendary music of New Orleans. It was a true privilege to talk to one of the new leaders of the Rebirth Brass Band, Glenn Hall III. And guys, this band has been going since before I was born. Imagine, if you will, the year 1983 in the Treme neighborhood of New Orleans. That's where, at Joseph S. Clark Senior High School, Keith Frazier, Philip Tuba Phil Frazier, his brother, and Kermit Ruffins got together and created a new brass band. Now, while brass bands have been part of the fabric of New Orleans since the Civil War, I'm really excited to present Rebirth Brass Band this weekend here in L.A., because on October 15th, I get to present a brand new music festival. Yes, it's never happened. It's called the Paramount Ranch Sonic Boom. It's happening Saturday in the Santa Monica Mountains in Agoura Hills. Yes, we have Rebirth Brass Band headlining with Dust Bowl Revival, Grammy winner Dom Flemons, a friend of the show, and the amazing bluegrass band Water Tower. We got a Cuban band, Yosmel Montejo y La Caliente, and the amazing Eagle Rock gospel singers. Every great music festival had its humble beginning, from Glastonbury to Newport Folk. Maybe we can start something special, but we need your help. Simply head over to dustbowlrevival.com, click on the cool poster, and you can go to our festival this Saturday. Dust Bowl at the Boom is the promo code for $10 off. Music starts at high noon, and Dust Bowl closes it out at 7 p.m. There's going to be craft beer and wine. There's VIP tickets if you're feeling fancy. There's a kids' craft area. There's going to be a lot of cool vendors, food trucks. And best of all, it looks like that heat wave has passed us by. The weather is going to be absolutely perfect up in those green hills. As always, thank you for listening to the show. You can help us out by sharing this show with your friends and family, leaving us a kind review on the iTunes page. And without further ado, here's Glenn Hall of Rebirth Brass Band. You started playing pretty early, right? Did you start marching in the street with folks like from a very early age?
Yeah, I actually started playing trumpet at the age of six. Actually, one of my older cousins, Glenn David Andrews, gave me my first horn at six. He taught me some songs, St. James Infirmary and Saints Go Marching In being two of right. One of those first songs I learned. And then after that, he would take me on gigs. Another older cousin, James Andrews, who was actually Trombone Shorty's older brother, who actually started him with music. Mm. And at a very early age, yeah, these guys would literally take me on gigs. And I mean, you just learn from that, you know, from those experiences.
A lot of folks maybe first heard you guys as some of the soundtrack to HBO's Tremé, which was one of my favorites, and that Feel Like Funkin' It Up track, which has become one of your signature songs, right? You know, it's on the soundtrack. It's part of your set whenever I've seen you guys. It just has this sort of unbridled joy to it, this sort of loose, free sound. Do you know where a song like that originated? Like, who actually starts the seed of that song? Is it 20, 30 years old at this point or longer?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the band has been around since 83. And I'm not sure if that was one of the first songs, but it definitely was a very, very early song that they created. Yeah, so that song is definitely 30 plus years old.
Now, when a song like that is in your set, right, you have this sort of vocal refrain, and then you have the harmonized horns coming in. Do you guys mix up the arrangement at times, or is it like this is how it goes and it is just like exactly like that through time?
Yeah, well, I think in order to understand that, we have to understand life in New Orleans sometimes. So you have the basics of life, like the necessities and just the core, but there's so much other things that happen around that. And I'm talking about experiences, situations,
right,
whether good or bad. So I think that concept kind of relates to the music as well. We definitely improvise a lot around the core, but we all up there are very aware of like the form and sections and the part, but it might not sound like it, but we're very aware of the structure of the song, but it's just so many nuances that is almost like we just related to life. Like there's so much things going on, but we know we got to go to sleep, we got to eat and celery, you know.
I remember talking to the guys in the Hot 8 brass band years ago.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Some very good friends of ours.
I saw them at, I want to say Howlin' Wolf, the Wolf Den.
On a Sunday night?
Yeah. And I had this thought, you know, in one of their breaks. I was like, when you guys are doing those city-long marching gigs, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what if you have to go to the bathroom? He's like, well, we don't have to. We just know exactly how long we're going to go. Like, we just don't need to. I'm like, but how?
I mean, there's definitely a lot of truth in that. But the thing is, if you really, 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 really have to go, I mean, the music is so collective,
right,
that you can step out for a couple seconds and maybe go to a neighbor's or a friend, you know, somebody that we know in the neighborhood, because most of these parades are, you know, parades within the neighborhoods that we grew up in.
Right.
So we pretty much know many, many people on the entire route. So if we really have to go, hey, I got to go use the bathroom, I'll just walk out and go use it really quick and come back and fit right back in.
Yeah, I guess you're like, well, there's seven other trumpet players going full
exactly.
blast. So. What is the song that you love playing most with this band right now?
That might be a hard one. That might be hard to say.
What do you guys usually kick off a set with?
I mean, it's crazy because we never have a set list. We never know exactly what we're going to play.
Oh, nice.
Like, never. But we have an idea of things, but we still technically don't really know what we're going to play.
Who shouts it out? Like, who counts it out?
Well, the tuba player actually starts a good bit of the songs.
Uh-huh.
So the tuba player normally starts the song. So honestly, whatever he comes in with, we just play it as a band. But I will say this, as far as like the tradition of Rebirth, coming from Keith and Phil, the leaders of the band, their mom actually was an organist in a church down in New Orleans. And she would always like tell them, you got to play like the traditional and a gospel hymn. The first song of your set, you got to play, you know, a gospel hymn to let them know where we come from. So I will say that a lot of the time we do tend to start maybe with a gospel hymn or maybe even like a traditional jazz or traditional New Orleans song.
Right. What's interesting is that some of your signature songs have become almost like hymns in a way.
Right. I agree.
Like, Do What You Wanna is like, you can't go to New Orleans
and not
hear that.
It's almost like a tradition, a New Orleans tradition, right?
It's like the sound of the street, you know?
Like I agree.
Go down to Frenchman, like, that's going to be playing by somebody.
Yes.
If only you got all the royalties from all the people covering it, you know?
Right.
But you guys have also, you know, been a part of some interesting collaborations. You know, I saw that you guys joined up with John Fogerty and the song Proud Mary that he does with Jennifer Hudson and Alan Toussaint. I mean, like, that's a pretty cool combination of like, all my favorite music in one place.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
I know our group, Dust Bowl Revival, pays a big homage to you guys. You know, a lot of folks thought we were kind of crazy when we started over 10 years ago, when we had like basically a folk harmony bluegrass band with a New Orleans brass section in the band, too.
Yeah,
like, why would you do that? And they're like, because I love both of those things, you know?
Right. It's crazy because I actually got a chance to check out some of y'all's music.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, wait, I thought I just heard like a folk song. Now I'm hearing like a legit funk song, and now I'm hearing like some rock and roll. Now I'm hearing like some, you know, some brat. Like, I was like, God darn it, these guys are very, very versatile. I have to say that.
I'm just as confused as you are, and I write the songs. But yeah, because I think I never wanted to have a band that just did one thing. I was like, well, that's not what I listen to. That's not what lights my fire, you know?
I'm the same exact way, Zach. I gotta admit, I'm into too many, like, I just love great music. I don't care if it's folk, I don't care if it's rock and roll, I don't care if it's jazz. If it's a great song and great music, I'm probably gonna be inspired by it.
Many years ago, we actually opened for Rebirth in L.A.
How long ago you say this was again?
I want to say maybe over 10, maybe 10 years ago, or like 8, 9 years ago at the Echoplex.
Was this at the Echoplex? I was about to say,
Yeah. And the thing I'll always remember about it, which was funny, is that your dressing room was down the hall from us. And then when you guys came out to go do your set, the like weed smoke was so thick that it was like your own like fog machine special effects. Like, it was like you guys were like creating like an entrance, and then you guys played for like, I want to say 3 hours without stopping.
Yeah, Rebirth sets are pretty brutal, especially on some hard players. If you're not used to playing hard for a long period of time, it might take a big toll on you.
Like, I was exhausted after our, like, hour-long set. And I'm like, wait, how? They don't even take any breaks. Like, they're just right? Going full speed. What the fuck?
I agree.
Yeah, it's like the endurance of the New Orleans brass players is not even close. Like, it's like a far and above everyone else.
Yeah, well, we could thank people like Louis Armstrong, you know, back in the day, literally playing on the streets of New Orleans, inspiring us to do the same exact right. thing. And, you know, you're parading for 4 hours in the street hard playing.
Right.
And I mean, there's not many breaks within that 4 hours.
Yeah.
You're probably going to build a lot of endurance, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting how the tuba is sort of the lead heartbeat of the group, right?
Yeah.
And I started listening to that track, We Come to Party, from the 1997 record. And again, it has that mob singing, and then it's like the drums and the tuba just bam, 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 bam. And then the horns join in. It's like everyone's kind of waiting for the tuba to lead you down the street.
Yeah, definitely. That tuba is definitely an intricate part in this music. Yeah, like you say, he's definitely the leader. He starts those songs off, and then he kind of just points us in a direction that we need to go. And then the drums come in and build that foundation. And those mob chants come from, you know, those gospel hymns, you know, in a sense, back in the day, you know, these, you know, going back all the way to possibly slavery, when these slaves were like chanting and call and response all the way from Africa, you know. So all that is built, you know, within this music, I have to say.
I mean, New Orleans has such a deep history, a lot of it pretty dark, you know, where music is coming out of a people that yearned desperately to be free and to be able to do their own traditions. And, you know, when you go to the city as a tourist, as a visitor, it's like, you see people eating outside and having a good time, and they're like, oh, there's a plaque of where they literally used to sell slaves, like right next to this cafe, or right next to, you know, the Preservation Hall. It's like, that was just part of the city's fabric, you know? New Orleans is its own world, you know? And you're coming to our festival in Southern California with the palm trees and the mountains, you know? And it's really like you're ambassadors from this other place, you know, with this history.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, honestly, in New Orleans, we just love to have fun. So if we can spread that energy and that those kinds of spirits within, I mean, it's just, honestly, it's just a part of life. It's a part of our life.
Right. There was a track that came out this year, actually, New Orleans Girl, PJ Morton, Cheeky Black, you guys from that Take Me to the River New Orleans record. And I love how, you know, this modern version of Rebirth has brought hip hop and a lot of R&B and different soul elements. How do you guys integrate the sort of modern sounds into this more traditional brass band sound?
Honestly, I mean, you think about any band, honestly, I'm sure within, you know, your band, like there's guys that are into this, that are into that. And technically in Rebirth, you know, we have some guys that are into a lot of jazz. We have some other guys that are into hip hop and R&B. And we got some guys that are into, like, you know, soul and blues music. So, I mean, honestly, it's just a gumbo We just tend to, you like this here? Somebody might come and say, oh yeah, let's try this here. Little hip hop vibe or whatever it may be, you know? But I mean, I think it's no different from, you know, being in a band with a group of people who are all in, you know, are into their own thing, you know? And we just come together and just make it happen.
Who is going to be in the group coming to the Paramount Ranch Sonic Boom Fest this Saturday?
Yeah, so we'll have actually the guy leading us now, Mr. Keith Frazier, a.k.a. Shorty, who's actually Philip Frazier, the guy who started the band, his younger brother.
Wow.
On bass drum. We'll have Clifton Smith on tuba with us. We'll have actually one of my older cousins, Janard Andrews, on the snare drum and some cymbals.
Nice.
And that'll take care of the rhythm section, you know, the bass drum, tuba, and snare. And on the front row, we'll have a guy who's been in the band for possibly, definitely over 30 years, Mr. Stafford AG. We call him Freaky Pete. He'll be on the slide trombone and vocals. We'll have myself on trumpet. Mr. Chadrick Honore, the other trumpet player, he'll be with us. Vincent Broussard, saxophone player, and the newest member of the band, Mr. Caleb Winsey on slide trombone, who actually comes from a musical family as well.
Yeah, isn't that amazing that a group that was, you know, that was started in 1983 still has,
right,
like part of that original family lineage going strong in 2022? Frazier.
Right? It's pretty amazing, I have to admit.
And you have guys like, obviously, Kermit Ruffins helped start the band, obviously, Trombone Shorty, and these people that have sort of branched out into their own successful careers. Actually, Shamar Allen played with us on our one New Orleans show. We've only played once in New Orleans, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, it wasn't the greatest show, sadly, but, you know, we tried.
And where did y'all play? Do you remember where y'all played?
I think it was actually at the Wolf Den.
At the Wolf Den. Okay, yeah.
It was like a Friday night. I was like, oh, this should be great. It was like a really weird weather freak weekend where it was like 40 degrees. It was like really cold. Like people were like, yeah, I'm not going outside.
Well, y'all have to come soon. Y'all have to come back soon.
Definitely. I know. It's one of the hardest towns to break into from an outside perspective, for sure, because you have so many great local bands. It's like, how you gonna, you know, like, why do they need an LA group with, you know, trumpet, trombone? That's like dime a dozen. You know, who cares?
No, I think y'all will do fine in New Orleans. Y'all just have to just come. That's it. Just come more often.
Yeah, there was one time where we played with Trombone Shorty at the Santa Monica Pier years and years ago. And I remember our trombone player, who's actually from Sweden. He's a big fan of Troy. And he was like starstruck. He was like, I don't know if I can go talk to him. Should I go talk to him?
That's hilarious. Yeah, he's definitely one of the coolest guys I know. So I'm sure it wasn't a problem. And actually, if I'm not mistaken, we did something at the Santa Monica Pier a couple years ago, maybe 2015. Did Snapchat have some kind of festival there? Do you remember?
Maybe, yeah. That sounds about right.
I think it was called like the Twilight Concerts or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the Thursday night thing they used to do. I don't think they've done it since the pandemic, sadly, but that was the thing we did with Trombone Shorty, yeah.
Twilight Concerts. Yeah. So we did that in 2015, actually. Reverb did that in 2015.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
I think, you know, the thing that's interesting about the songs that are recorded by you guys, you know, you have a staple like Exactly Like You, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is a tune that was in country music. It's in like Western swing. I know like Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a song that has sort of worked its way through jazz, through country, through pop. And it's a beautiful thing that you guys can kind of translate it through the brass and the tuba and the drums. And you have, instead of, you know, obviously the lyrics, you have the horns singing it.
Yeah, cool. It's weird because that particular tradition is something that has been going on since guys like Louis Armstrong, you know?
Right.
And I mean, honestly, we get it from guys like that, and we just kind of kept that kind of tradition going. It's crazy because there's another popular song in New Orleans that a lot of us actually gets from Fats Domino.
Okay.
The song Jambalaya on the Bayou, which is actually a country song, right?
Yeah.
And that's actually a very popular song within New Orleans music. And I think we have to thank a guy like Fats Domino for that, you know, because he had a version of that. And I think we kind of took it from Fats Domino and played tunes like that as well. That's where my life began. Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. That's where my life began. Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Yeah, the reason why I initially started Dust Bowl Revival when I moved out to LA was I saw Del McCurry and his bluegrass band doing this tour with Preservation Hall Jazz Band.
Really?
Where the two bands like combined, like fit 20 people on stage, you know?
Really?
You got violins, you know, fiddles and mandolins and banjos, and then you have
brass, right?
The big old brass and the tuba and the drums. And it was like, wait, this is really natural somehow. Like it felt totally cool. And then, you know, when we tried to do it, people were like, well, why would you have a fiddle and a trombone in the same band? It makes no sense. But like, again, I think the two worlds were often listening to each other. And I remember talking to Del McCurry one time, and he said, like, yeah, like Hank Williams would go to New Orleans for vacation. Like that was like his favorite music to go
right
listen to, you know. And then you have a lot of folks in Louisiana listening to the Grand Ole Opry, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Who's some of your favorite local bands in New Orleans that maybe people out here don't know about that we should listen to?
Well, actually, if I'm being honest, Dumpster Funk. I'm sure everybody about Dumpster Funk, but Dumpster Funk is definitely one of my favorites. Obviously, my cousin Trombone Short in Orleans Avenue. I actually lead my own band down in New Orleans called Lil Glenn and Back of Town.
Okay.
And I guess I'm a fan of my own music, right?
Yeah, there's so many people down there. It's like you go down to Frenchman Street.
Yeah, know? I mean, brass bands. I mean, there's like New Breed Brass Band, which my cousin Janot, who's in the band, he leads.
Mm.
Big Six Brass Band is another. Yeah, I mean, there's just so much good music in New Orleans, and everybody is just doing a lot of stuff, you know?
What do you think has been your biggest, like, rock star moment? Like, the coolest show that you can think of that you played?
I mean, it depends on what we're defining as cool, because I can say, oh, well, we played the encore with the Red Hot Chili Peppers for their show at the New Orleans arena.
Oh, yeah.
The Smoothie King Arena.
I mean, but that's also, that feels like a rock star moment.
right. And actually, Rebirth actually opened for the Grateful Dead at the Coliseum in the late 90s, I think. Oh, man, it might have been the late 80s or early 90s or something like that.
Yeah.
At the Coliseum in Oakland. There's actually recordings of that exact show online now. But honestly, I mean, we play at we used to play at a venue called the Maple Leaf down in New Orleans.
Right.
And honestly, those shows felt just as much as a rock star show as the Smoothie King Arena show with the Chili Peppers, you know? So, I mean, it's just beautiful and fun to play music for different kinds of people and people from all over, you know?
Yeah, and you guys were at the Grammys. I mean, you guys won a Grammy in 2012, but you guys, I think, opened the ceremony, the 54th Grammy Awards. I mean, I think you guys, again, are the touchstone of that music, especially when Katrina, you know, wiped out the city. People almost rediscovered a lot of that culture by accident, you know?
Yeah. It's weird you mentioned the Grammys, because I wasn't quite in the band at that time, because that I think that was 2012. Mm-hmm. But apparently the guys were actually on stage performing.
Uh-huh.
And they were like announcing, like, you know, the winner for, I guess, category. Then the category that they were actually nominated for was being announced like right as they were playing. And it's like Reverb Brass Band for Roots, whatever the cat. I can't really exactly remember what the category was. But yeah, like the guys were actually on stage and playing, and they're getting announced that they won the Grammy. And they're like, wait, holy shit. They just said our name. We won the Grammy. Damn.
Well, I guess you're already on stage. Just you know, walk across stage. Nice and easy.
Right? Just give your speech right now.
Yeah, well, that's cool, man. I think, you know, again, Dust Bowl Revival, and me especially, we've been wanting to throw our own type of music festival in LA since the beginnings. I think a lot of times you get, you know, these old-timey, folky festivals, and then you have the big pop or rock and roll festivals, and nothing in between, you know?
Yeah.
And my favorite music brings together, I think, the folk tradition and the funk and brass band and rock and roll tradition. We got a Cuban band. We got, some really cool songwriters. Dom Flemons, I don't know if you've heard of him. He's a Grammy-winning kind of folk blues historian, mm-hmm. guitar player, played with the Carolina Chocolate Drops. And, it's about kind of honoring the history, but also making something new, like something
that
hasn't been heard before. And that's what I think my hope is, that we can do this festival every year and have you guys help us kick it off.
Yeah, I have to admit, we're definitely looking forward to playing the fest, especially since, you know, you explaining where the idea and the reason behind the festival. I mean, that makes us even more excited to be a part of it, you know?
I mean, when people think that we have a big band with 7 or 8, you guys actually have a real big band traveling across the country, you know?
Right.
Like, what happens if there's like crazy travel logistics with you guys? Like, you doing what? At least like 9-10 folks at a time, mostly?
Well, actually, there was a point when the band was traveling with 9 members.
Mm-hmm.
But for the past probably 10 years, maybe, the band pretty much been 8 members. Yeah.
Well, that's reasonable.
Yeah. I mean, it's still more on the bigger side of bands.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not the smallest, but it's not the biggest, you know?
Well, I think there's a lot of discussion right now about how expensive and tough it is to tour as an independent group that's not like, you know, a big famous label funded project. And you know, travel costs have almost tripled, it feels like, pretty much since the pandemic has slowed. A lot of the flights that we used to, you know, bank on, you know, we tried to fly to Atlanta a couple weeks ago, usually about $100-$150 one way. It was like triple that.
Yeah.
It's like, and it's like insane. That's times 7 people. It's like you can't, it's hard to know how to navigate, you know, touring. And we've been doing a lot of, you know, sort of weekend jumps, because I have an 8-month-old here, baby at home. So,
darn. Congratulations.
Yeah, she'll be there. She's going to be dancing to you guys. But, you know, Do you guys usually go on sort of small runs, or do you guys go on longer runs still? Like, how is the touring work with Rebirth?
Yeah, so we definitely go on a lot of smaller runs. I mean, technically, we're probably on tour throughout the entire year, but it's broken up. So we used to have a residency gig at the Maple Leaf every Tuesday before COVID. And we picked up another one after COVID at a place called Zony Mesh. I think we might be resuming it in November. But we're normally in town, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then we'll go out Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, go back home, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, go back out Friday, Saturday, come back home. So we're normally in town during the week, and we mainly travel on those weekends. Right. So we're actually able to, you know, play the gig back home and have a life back home, you know.
Well, you know, maybe that's the new way of doing things. You know, it's a little more, I guess, like, good for your home life, but also it gives you a sense that you can have a life in both places. Because if you never tour, it's like you never actually get to share your music with outside perspective.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, both has its pros and cons, because I'm sure leaving out and going back in can get even more expensive than just being on tour for a long period of time. But I mean, you know, we're thankful for the guys that handle our things, you know, Shorty, the leader of the band. Right. And he's just found a way to figure it out. And
I never thought that when I started playing music, quote unquote, full time, that most of my job would be as a travel agent. That's what I feel like I do mostly, you know, Southwest, putting in those Rapid Rewards numbers, and TSA pre numbers,
traveling numbers, right?
Trying to redeem your hotels.com credits, trying to
making sure out the right birthdays are on the reservation so the TSA number can pop up.
Seeing if you have enough space on that LLC credit card to book all this stuff at, because that's the hardest part, is that you're booking all this travel and stuff months ahead of getting paid. That's the hardest thing logistically to figure out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
All right. If you were to play a Rebirth Brass Band gig on the moon, just imagine, if you will, you guys are the first band to open up this awesome new music venue on the moon. Which song would you open with?
Possibly Lord, Lord, Lord. That's the first song on the latest album.
I love it.
Right. And we will probably end with Feel Like Funkin' It Up, Casanova, Do What You Want It.
Amen. Well, we're really looking forward to you being here, and thanks for jumping on the line with me.
Oh, thank y'all for having us, Zach.
Thanks to Glenn and Rebirth Brass Band for talking to me this Saturday in Agora Hills, the Paramount Ranch Sonic Boom. Yes, that is the Dust Bowl Revival's curated music festival, a very, very fun first music festival in Southern California. Starts at noon. Dust Bowl Revival, Rebirth Brass Band, Dom Flemons, Water Tower, Eagle Rock gospel singers Yosmel Mantejo and Abby Posner. Please check it out. And there's going to be a lot of really fun food trucks, vendors, crafts for kids, and the weather will be perfect. That's what I hear. This is the last chance to use our promo code, Dust Bowl at the Boom. Yes, Dust Bowl at the Boom for $10 off. If you hear us on the airwaves this week in LA, well, you can thank our media partners, 89.3 KPCC LAist and 88.5 The SoCal Sound for spreading the word. And big love to Tiny Porch Concerts for making this happen. You can go to rebirthbrassband.com for their tour dates. They're going to be heading down south after they get home from L.A., playing in Baton Rouge November 11th, in Houston November 19th, in Cincinnati on the 26th, and back up in California, Starline Social Club in Oakland, such a cool space, Friday, December 2nd, and also December 3rd in Oakland, so please check that out. As always, The Show on the Road is written, produced, and edited by yours truly, Zach Lupitin, and we are part of the BGS Podcast Network. We have a lot of cool episodes coming up. My talk with Jim Lauderdale, also Ondara, and more. If you go to our Instagram, Show on the Road Podcast, or our YouTube channel, you can see exclusive video of me chatting with these amazing artists. Yes, our real faces in real time. And I know there's so many podcasts to listen to right now, but if you could share this with a friend who loves new music, I would appreciate it a lot. And please leave us a kind review. It would mean a lot as well. I'm going to sign off there. Stay safe, stay creative, and we'll see you on the trail.
This is the story of Whitney Houston.
This is the story of Kurt Cobain.
Of George Michael, of Otis Redding, of Amy Winehouse, of Michael Hutchence, Bob Marley. This is the story of Prince.
It's a new podcast series.
About how they died, why they died, and why we're still talking about them so long after.
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
It's storytelling.
But it's more than that, because rock stars,
they tell us how we feel. They change our mood.
They change the clothes we wear, the people we hang out with,
the way we remember things.
It's them who give us those ludicrous moments, the ones where you're
jumping around, singing your heart out, feeling understood.
And it's those moments we'll help you remember, the ones you're thinking about right now.
That feeling.
That feeling.
It's coming soon from Crowd Network.
Just search for Death of a Rockstar on your podcast app.
And subscribe now.